AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
Genius, but I like to think of myself as cool in the back seat.
Calling it out, Vic, Petros and Money, AM 570 LA Sports, live everywhere on the iHeart Radio app. Remember, it is our season of giving, Thanksgiving tomorrow. We hope you enjoy the holiday safely and soundly with your family, friends, however you may be celebrating it. But remember, we are trying to help out those that are in need, and that is through the Dream Center LA. 7,500 Thanksgiving meals
James
have
Worthy
already
gave
been
served. $1,000.
How great was that?
It was pretty good. Yeah,
$1,000 was hoping somebody might match. If you have the means to match, at DreamCenter.org/donate now. He appreciates all the sacrifice made by those veterans, and Dream Center LA through the Justin Turner Foundation is trying to put a roof over homeless veterans' heads and also get them Thanksgiving Day meals. Christmas gifts, Christmas trees, so they too can enjoy the holidays. And again, you can donate now, whatever you can afford to give. You know it's going to a great cause. We've been involved with Dream Center and Justin Turner Foundation for a long time, and we get to see it, the fruits of all of your donations, and it really does work. DreamCenter.org/donate now.
All right, well, this...
secret text us a line.
Sold out to Chevy.
This came from the guy that says he's getting together with his boys, inspired.
Corrections and retractions.
No setting expectations, money, but by good time, I mean hooking up. It's a long-ass weekend. Why the hell not, he says. So,
that's spite. You were right.
Yeah,
spite.
They're going out to try to make it work. And, you know, one guy also texted me like, hey, look, I agree with you about the high school thing, but one time I went and I had sex with, he put the whole girl's name, at the airport Radisson, and I'll never forget that.
Why would you?
Yeah, that
of course you'll never forget that.
Doesn't sound depressing at all. Not at all. So the whole thing is very complicated, and we all have our own battle to fight. It's just a PSA that I've been doing since my early 20s on the Korean station, and it's changed over the years as our society has changed over the years. But still, if you go home and you cry and you want to die tonight, don't blame me, because we told
you. You were warned.
Yeah, totally warned. All right, it's time for the number of the day, Matt.
Here's my number.
Number of the day.
Number of the day is 17. On Sunday at SoFi Stadium, the Rams and Packers will square off, and it will be the 17th meeting between Aaron Rodgers and Matthew Stafford. In the previous 16 meetings, Aaron Rodgers holds a 12-4 edge in those meetings. The only other quarterback meetings that are more lopsided since 1950, Sonny Jurgensen, 14-3-2 over Norm Snead, and Ben Roethlisberger, 12-3 over Andy Dalton. It will also feature the reigning MVP versus the reigning defensive player of the year, Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Donald, something that has not happened in over a decade when Troy Polamalu and Tom Brady squared off.
Wow.
In a 25-17 Patriots
Now, this
victory.
Is a weather game, right? It's going to be cold as hell.
Yeah. Weather. Oh, yeah, it's not SoFi. My mistake. It is at Green Bay, and it is the physical nature of the Green Bay Packers defense as the... Yeah, it's at the Packers. You're absolutely right. Cold weather game. I mean, Matthew Stafford's no stranger to that, right? Having played at Lambeau every single season.
Oh, he loves it, I'm sure.
I'm sure he's got great memories from those meetings while he was a Lion. Yes, my mistake. Not at SoFi, at Lambeau Field.
So how bad does that change things for old Tiny Hand Stafford? Or maybe his hands are bigger than Goff.
I think he's got bigger hands. Yeah, I think Stafford's got bigger hands. He's just taken some incoming the last few games and has decided to just throw the ball up all willy-nilly. And that willy-nilly pass and passes have been intercepted four times in his last two. So there's that.
I don't know, Matt. If the Rams lose three or four straight, I mean.
Three in a row? Could be. 7-3. The toast of the town. The top team in the NFC, according to many, when you got Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald on defense, and all of a sudden you pick up Odell Beckham to help with your toughness, maybe some needs you might have on that side of the ball. Because nothing says we're going to get after you on offense like Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah, I don't know if bringing him in was such a great idea, but I can see him in the 37-degree weather just out there running around and expressing himself,
oh, yeah.
Getting real loose with it. All right, let's do this one.
He heard me with his words.
The word of the day.
Today's word of the day is high school strife. There's been so much of a call for us to respond to this, and I believe that we should. That's a guy who's been on our show many times. I share an Emmy with the guy for a thing that we did, Bruce Rawlinson, on Bally Sports. They got the huge game coming up this weekend on Bally Sports between Servite and Modern Day. If Servite knocks off Modern Day and will have knocked off Modern Day and Bosco in back-to-back weeks in the playoffs, it'll be one of the greatest accomplishments in high school football history, considering the makeup of the Modern Day and Bosco team. But it wasn't written by Fryer, and it wasn't written by Mark Wicker at the OC Register, Matt, which I believe is a paper you still get the actual physical paper for.
Got that ink on your fingertips.
Yeah, they had an investigative reporter, the same guy that uncovered the Matt Leinart high school field thing. Remember that?
Oh, when he booted high schools off for his Friday Night Lights, like, burgeoning business? Yeah.
I shouldn't say high schools, park fields or whatever.
Yeah, he had, like, somehow taken priority of fields that he had no business taking priority. It was a big mess.
Yeah, this guy, he's the investigative reporter for the OC Register, and apparently a thing went down at Modern Day last winter. So in the early new year.
February, February of 21.
And it was like a hazing thing or just a fight in the locker room or whatever it was. A kid got hurt really bad. And apparently, according to the article, the way you read it, it was not handled properly, according to the article, by Bruce Rawlinson and his underlings and his superiors in the diocese, which is where things go. If you have a problem at Modern Day, whether it's on the football field or like your daughter who played high level lacrosse there or baseball or any of the great sports, basketball, where Coach McKnight does his thing. I mean, any of these places, Modern Day has a protocol on how they deal with it. And if you read the article, apparently the protocol was not covered. And I'm not here to try the case or to talk about it. I believe that the case with the young man from almost a year ago has been settled. That's the way I read it in the article. But in the article, one of the player involved that hurt the other player, and they say potential brain damage, which is really frightening and upsetting to hear. That guy, I guess, is still on the team. But what the crazy thing was...
Well, I got an email today, P, that, because I'm a Modern Day parent, I have a daughter who's a senior there, and I don't know if it's been settled, because in there it's from the, like you mentioned, the diocese. It's from the father that's quoted in the, I think his name was Steve Reed, that did the article, saying that they are aware and they know that many people have read this article and are concerned about this article. Your student's well-being is of the utmost importance and our primary priority. And unfortunately, because of pending litigation, I cannot comment on the case itself. So
they might come after somebody else, but they might have already come after one entity, because the interesting thing when I was because we there's like this weird crazy ass high school coaches chat on Twitter last night. I didn't even know there could be like a full-on like chat, like a chat room.
It's on Twitter Spaces,
Twitter Spaces. I had no idea what that was.
And talk to people.
Kate's was talking, like listening to these guys, and they're like all these high school football coaches
and guys who cover high school sports
and
dot com guys.
Media and JT freaking Daniels in Georgia is sitting on the call listening in, and like all of these people from schools like Bosco all the way down to the lowest rung.
The St. Brown brothers were both on there.
Yeah, guys up in the Northwest, guys in the Bay Area, like everybody and their mom. and it was a no-holds-barred.
340 people were on this.
It was just crazy, and the way the guys were talking to each other and the way they were talking about it, it's from that call that made me believe that the thing had already been settled, or at least part of it had been settled. But that doesn't matter. You know, now that the article has come out, people are going to read the article, and there's going to be a public outcry about Coach Rawlinson's handling of this and the way modern day has handled this. And then people are going to say, hey, modern day football is not the modern day football of the Matt Grittygood era, that they did not bring in most of the Inland Empire to come and play in the fall and sometimes just go back in the spring in the Matt Leinart, Matt Grittygood era. That this is a different era of high school football, and modern day can very much be seen as an IMG type of place on the West Coast. But it's a Catholic school with these great values and this great tradition. And I mean,
the football program has not reflected that as of late.
Yeah.
Right? You can just come out and say it, whatever, you know, look, like you said, you don't want to try the article and jump to conclusions and details that we only have one particular article, this investigative reporter, who I'm sure is exceptional and did his due diligence, or else the OC Register would not put it in print, especially considering how powerful modern day is, how many big time, you know, extremely wealthy donors, members of the Orange County community support modern day. They checked everything and double checked and vetted the hell out of it before they went ahead and printed all of this. I think you're absolutely right. You don't want to try it on our radio station from just this one article, but from how it reads, it reads like what you're talking about. And that is that modern day football ceased being modern day football to some extent. And it became a bodies for hire.
Well, it's
an arms race and
a machine. It's
a machine. And it's changed. And it's, you know, the one telling thing in that article, P, is that if it's true that Rawlinson calls the player who ends up having a brain injury and has to go into the hospital and is talking to that player's father about how he can't discipline the guy to beat the absolute crap out of him because he's one of his assistant coaches. And it's just complicated. And you got to kind of trust me on this one.
And then you know, next look, thing, you I know, mean, it, I've heard from Rawlinson. Like, you know, I remember I was interviewing Bruce Rawlinson on the sideline of a game when I was in my early 20s, and they the Mission Viejo team had a great punt returner and a safety and a receiver that was wearing them out named Marty Tadman. And I said, you know, how do you handle Tadman? And Bruce said, you know, well, you got a gun, you know, and he was trying to be funny. But it didn't go over well, you know, and he had to apologize, and, you know, and that was, you know, people were a lot less sensitive then, Matt. And, you know, that was 15 years ago. So a lot of the stuff that you're referencing in the article that Rawlinson was reported to have said is very believable, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, he basically told, according to the article from Steve Reed, is not only Rawlinson, but you've got Dean of Students in here calling this parent saying, you're not going to do anything. You know, this is not something you can take action against. Apparently, when the kid was injured. And the other thing is, we now live in an era where everything's on video. And there are reportedly cell phone videos
cameras
of this altercation.
All over that place, too.
And the kids freaking out when this kid took a headshot and then a second headshot. And that cut got busted open. And according to the article, instead of calling the ambulance, instead of calling the parents, this kid sat in the trainer's room for nearly 2 hours. And some trainer tried to tape and glue the freaking wound on the side of his head instead of getting him to the hospital, and they didn't call the parents because they were trying to figure out what to do. I mean, if it's proven to be true, I don't see how they get out of this.
I mean, it's Scott Reed is the guy that wrote the article.
Yeah.
And you know, it'll be interesting because they don't really answer to anybody other than themselves. So it'll have to come within modern day. The outrage will have to come within modern day. Or from outside modern day. I wouldn't be surprised if whatever happens in this game that he just resigns when it's over and says, that's it, I'm calling it
career.
And maybe that's not the worst thing ever. But, you know, the CIF ain't going to do nothing. They have less power than the NCAA. The Trinity League can't. I mean, no one can do anything to Rawlinson other than modern day. If they want to. And then that's up to them. But it is an interesting read. But this coach's chat was the craziest part about it.
What were they doing? They were like trying to relitigate
They were just talking about it. And, you know, they're talking about, you know, I mean, it was like an honest, actual conversation with N-words and F-words and football people,
right,
you know, in a no-holds-barred conversation about what was going on. And then the crazy thing was they saw that I was on there, So they were like, you know, well, what do you think, Petros? Because there was a lot of guys on there that were defending Rawlinson because they're football guys that come from my era, and they've seen a lot of fistfights in the locker room. God knows, you know, I've stepped over guys who were laying unconscious on the locker room floor, not in high school, which is different now, but I've stepped over unconscious guys, which is not right, you know, being knocked out in a locker room while you're getting dressed or something because there's an altercation. So
it sounds like there was some of that in this too, yeah.
Well, there was a lot of that, you know, and so for you know, so a lot of those guys on the call, they know my background in football. They know people I've played with. They know that I am not the most innocent person in the world, and they know that I've seen a lot of things that are a lot less innocent than that. So they asked me, you know, well, what do you think of this? You know, these kids are soft, and, you know, they're just a message. And, you know, there was really intense arguing that on both sides. And then they just call it. It's very interesting. I never heard of it. I guess it's been going on a long time in Southern California football.
They do it every Friday night. And it's a lot of, like, hey, check it in. Chino Hills, how'd you do tonight? Hey, you know, St. Margaret's, yeah, how'd you guys do? Hey, St. Bernard, check in right now.
It was like a wild roll call. And I just said, look, you know, I said, look, you know, I've seen a lot of things, and I know that. But, you know, if somebody's hurt in this kind of way, there has to be accountability. And when there's not, you know, bad things happen, and this is bad. And you can't, you know, you can't slice it any other way. Right. This is bad.
What do they always say, P? It's not the crime, it's the cover-up. And that's what this is. It's not the fact that these two guys got after it in the locker room. Like you said, you've seen it. Anybody that's played football has seen it. It's the fact that they tried to cover this up because of who the kid was and that his dad is an assistant coach. And that's where the issue came. And I mean, and look, whatever. I'm not going to say anything that's out of turn. I don't know who the assistant. You know what these assistant coaches are now, essentially. When you look at that sideline and you see what it's become, there's 60 people down there that look like they're supposedly coaching this team. And so many of the so much of the speculation is, well, it's not so much an assistant coach. It is a guy that's standing on the sideline that pulled three guys from one particular area. And it's essentially like a recruiting coordinator.
But we've talked about it for a long time.
You know, exactly. It's been talked about forever. And now the spotlight is on them, and it's going to come, you know, it's all going to get litigated in the media. And we'll see, like you said, whether or not they're above it and untouchable, because it's the number one team in the nation. It's you know, it's modern day Servite on Friday night at Veterans. It's going to be a huge freaking deal. And people just want to watch them play football because they love it.
Because this is going to
completely overshadow it.
Yeah, this is going to overshadow the whole thing. The Scott Reed at S Reed Reporter is the Twitter feed if you want to read the article. He's the guy that put it out. And then, you know, everybody, even the LA Times guys, were retweeting this one. So it is an interesting situation, and we'll talk more about it as we go on. It is time for the Song of the Day.
This is the Song of the Day.
Ta-da!
Little Birdie is our song of the day from the 1973 animated television special, A Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, written and performed and sung by the great jazz pianist and composer Vince Guaraldi. First time he's ever sang on one of his own soundtracks. The perfect time to spin this crunchy, cool jazz tune on the eve of Thanksgiving, as Great Sports Talk is ready to serve up 4 full hours of Great Sports Talk with all your favorite trimmings. That'll also include the UCLA Bruins Insider Show with our good friend Brian Fenley coming your way at 7 o'clock.
Don McLean will join us next. Our BFF, talk about UCLA's loss, the Lakers' struggles, Thanksgiving accoutrement, PMS on AM 570 LA Sports. Great Sports Talk on a We Just Won't Be Defeated Wednesday.
Don't you worry. Just do what you can do.
They're tweeting. They're on Facebook, Instagram. Interact with the show at AM570LASports.com.
For you, our loyal listener.
Petros and Money continues now. 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 Now.
Got Bruin Insider tonight at 7 when we're off the air. Full 4 hours of Petros and Money on this Wednesday going into Thanksgiving. Hope you all have a safe and enjoyable Thanksgiving holiday tomorrow. Here at AM 570 LA Sports, we'll have a triple header of football. All 3 games that are being played in the NFL will be heard right here. So if you're going to or going back home from your Thanksgiving celebration, be sure to not miss a single minute of NFL football right here on your home of the NFL, AM 570 Bears Lions, followed by Raiders Cowboys, followed by Bills versus Saints in the nightcap. And we got UCLA basketball and football on Saturday. UNLV for the basketball squad, followed by UCLA Cal at the Rose Bowl. Tim Cate's going to be all over both of those.
The guy from the chat, the chat guy is at Chemical AT. Aram Toljian. So he just tweeted us back. The coaching chat last night, and he tweeted, "Hey, Petros and Money, Tim Cate, COP. Very cool to hear you mention the spaces we do on our show. Wanted to clear one thing up. We're just guys chopping it up. Without filters about football. Current, former coaches and writers, athletes, but mostly just fans. All are welcome." And apparently, yeah, somebody just texted me that the lawsuit was just filed and that, you know, that AD, as you know, Matt, resigned 9 months ago abruptly.
Yeah.
Which, well, that might have told the tale about what's now been just surfacing this freaking week. Interesting timing.
Yeah, I just got that email at 3:08 p.m. from Father Walter Jenkins. So
modern day in peril with a big game coming up. Who knows the future? But joining us right now, a man that always knows the future of college and high school and pro basketball. He is our BFF, the Baron of Box Canyon. The next ass he kisses will be the first. Thanksgiving season, just like the football season, is a very busy time for Don McClain as he's just getting started. All kinds of tournaments, non-conference games, Clippers pre, half, and post. From Valley Sports and the Pac-12 Network, CAA and the proprietor of the Conejo Valley Basketball Club. It's a leading scorer in the history of the Pac-12. The next ass he kisses will be the first. The Wizard of Westlake, Don McClain. What's cracking, Don? How are you?
Just finished up 14 games in 18 nights last night. Of course, that game had to go overtime.
Of course.
So I had these next 2 days off. So I may or may not have already had a couple beers leading up to your show, and the grill's going on in an hour, just so you know.
Yeah.
Nobody gets out of UAB. Nobody gets out of UAB without overtime and maybe a broken leg to where the guy has to get like an air cast. And, you know, and then you have to say, you know, Ted, they hate to see this. You know, I hate to see somebody hurt in this way. Just crickets out there. All right, Don, first and foremost, you sock a dude in the face and he goes buck wild because his grandfather's from Jamaica. Beef Stew, Isaiah Stewart from your Pac-12 work. What did you make of that the other night before we move on with all the other stuff going on?
You know, only LeBron knows his intent there. It looked to me like it was, I'm frustrated, I'm going to hit him, but hopefully it doesn't, you know, I did, but I didn't. Hopefully it doesn't go bad. And it went bad because he opened his eye. And, you know, I know that from playing in the league where guys, you know, do things that they don't think is going to be a big deal and they don't really intend to hurt him, but they're kind of mad at him and frustrated. So they do it anyway, and it turns into that. So, you know, it's unfortunate because by all accounts, Isaiah Stewart's a good dude, good guy in the locker room. And so it wasn't really necessary. You never want to see a guy's eye get open like that, but it did. So, again, only LeBron knows his true intent there.
Don, let's immediately shift because Petro shared with me yesterday our guy Chet Holmgren, and I had to plead ignorance. I was not aware, and last night I was gobsmacked. I was dumbfounded watching that dude play basketball. Is he? I know everybody likes the Duke guy, Banchero, I think is his name. Is Holmgren the best player in college basketball, or is he just so different than things we're used to seeing?
Yeah, look, the NBA has shifted in terms of the draft. I only know this because I do it. They need help now. The days of drafting and hoping somebody turns into something 3 years from now are kind of over. So Holmgren's interesting in that regard because he is a unicorn in the sense that you don't see 7-foot guys that handle the ball, shoot, and pass like he does, and also protect the rim. But you look at his body and you're like, well, he's got a ways to go to deal with NBA people. So I do think that he'll end up going number one just because you don't see that very often, like you said, Matt. But certainly freakish in terms of a guy being that tall, that long, but also that skilled. And he had a major impact on that game last night, especially at the defensive end. So I think that's only going to grow. I think he will spend more time in the weight room as the season goes on. I don't think he's ever going to be a big a big body anyway, kind of like Durant. Like, Durant's gotten stronger, but he still looks skinny. I think that's always going to be the case with Holmgren. But certainly a talented, talented kid. I'd be surprised if he's not the first or second pick in the draft.
Is that how big is that gap between these two teams, Don? Like, is that something that Cody Riley could have had a major impact on trying to limit Holmgren, or do you think that would not have mattered?
I'm supposed to say yes, Matt, but the answer is no. Like, I feel the same way about Gonzaga this year as I did last year, and I was almost right. Like I said, even on your show, that no one was going to beat them, and no one did until the national championship. I think this year no one's going to beat them. And maybe on an off night they're flat or not ready or whatever, but that's not – look, UCLA is a very good team and very well coached, and I think this is a good lesson for them that if they're still in the national championship conversation, which they are, now they've seen what they have to beat. And so let's get to work on what we need to get better at and dealing with their size and their length and their skill and all the good players that Gonzaga has. So, yes, there is a gap, but that doesn't mean that we get to March and UCLA couldn't knock them off. They almost did last year. So I think all in all, disappointing, I'm sure, for UCLA fans watching that game last night, but probably, you know, in his private moments, Mick Cronin saying, you know what, that was a good lesson for us.
They build on that by taking on UNLV, staying out in Vegas. Going forward, do you think the UCLA team uses that as a touchstone for the rest of the year? Or do you think it'll be a hill and gully ride, you know, like it kind of is every year?
No, I think they use that. And look, everyone's been patting UCLA on the back, and deservedly so, for what they did last year. Everyone coming back. You add Miles Johnson, Peyton Watson. So all the hype and all the recognition was deserved. But when you're that well thought of and you're expected to get to the Final Four now and you're expected to contend for a national championship, you know, you got work to do. And, you know, you go along, you kind of cruise your first four games, you beat a pretty good Villanova team, but then you run into the team that if you're going to win the whole thing, you're going to have to beat. And so I think it will reset UCLA, especially Juzang and Jaquez. Neither of them played great last night. Jaquez got it going in the second half, but especially Johnny Juzang, who was the darling of the tournament last year, who can really play and can really score. But he had to have been a little bit humbled last night by that Gonzaga defense, because that was the recipe last year, was really good UCLA defense and then Jaquez and Juzang carrying the offense. Well, Gonzaga wasn't going to let Johnny Juzang get loose last night. And so I think you may see a more, I don't know what the word is, a more, I don't want to say dedicated because the kid works hard, but a more focused
sober
Johnny Juzang, maybe.
Okay.
A sobering loss?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not worried about UCLA. Look, Gonzaga's really good, and that's who they're going to have to beat in March, but I think moving forward you'll see a much more disciplined, humbled UCLA team.
How, you know, we know now, certainly saw it on a basketball court head-to-head, how far the gap is between UCLA and Gonzaga as it stands today. We don't know what the gap is between UCLA and the rest of the Pac-12. Next highest-ranked team is Arizona. They're undefeated, and then USC undefeated at 24, and Oregon just outside the top 25. Don, in terms of the Pac-12, how much of a gap is there between UCLA and maybe the next best team?
Not as much as people thought heading into this thing. I mean, I was at USC the other night. They're good. Boogie Ellis is really good and gives them a different dimension in terms of scoring from the guard position. They miss Mobley at the rim, his rim presence and protection, but I still think they're going to be really good defensively. And then Arizona out of nowhere. I mean, speaking of Gonzaga, Tommy Lloyd has rejuvenated that program in a short time. Guys have gotten better. This Christian Coloco has made the biggest jump I've seen from one season to the next, maybe ever, since I've been covering the Pac-12. And so the gap was big before the season started. I still think UCLA is the favorite, but I don't think the gap is as big as we all thought.
Are the Lakers in trouble, Don?
Yes, they are.
Kyle's late for curfew, or trouble, or trouble like Kyle left the country with a girl that he met in Santa Barbara. Trouble. Like, what are we talking?
We're late for curfew right now, just because, and I said this to you guys, if we're still talking in December about this stuff, then maybe it's a problem, and it's almost December now. And so will they figure it out? They still might, but it's kind of been a long enough rip now where we haven't really seen much change. I know LeBron's been in and out of the lineup, but it just, there hasn't been something where I'm like, oh yeah, that's what they need to do. That's what they're going to do to win games and get themselves right and be, you know, a contender for the finals. But maybe they just need more time. I don't know. You know, I think back to the Heat team when those guys got together and they started, I think, 8-9 or something like that. So that's kind of where we're at. Mm. But I don't know. That was different. That just seemed different with a younger Bosch, a younger D-Wade with LeBron. This is an older team with a Russell Westbrook who's not a great shooter who can play off the ball. With LeBron, it doesn't seem like. So I don't know. Well, let's wait and see. But I'm certainly in a different place thinking about them now than I was a month ago.
Don, just last thing from me. I don't really feel like a lot of people were excited about the Westbrook trade. Now that you look at the Wizards, who are, I think, third or maybe fourth in the mm-hmm. East, and Harrell is balling, and Kyle Kuzma's playing great basketball. They miss Pope's perimeter defense, certainly. Was that just a really bad trade?
Well, it's starting to look that way. I mean, you know, the thing is that people get hung up on names and you're like, oh, Russell Westbrook, look, he's one of the best players in the league in the right situation. But it doesn't always fit. And that was my thing. And right when the trade happened and I was on with you guys, I said, it's just not it doesn't look right. It doesn't feel right. And it doesn't fit simply because Russell Westbrook is not okay with being a catch and shoot guy. He's not. He needs right. to attack. He needs a ball in his hands. He wants to attack the paint and the rim. And he can't do that if LeBron's on the ball. And so as great as Westbrook's been in his career, it just doesn't seem right. And so what the Wizards got is a bunch of guys that are pissed off that they got traded from the Lakers on a team that won a championship 2 years ago that maybe could have won it again. And they're trying to prove something. I mean, the Wizards are the biggest surprise team in the league so far. And I think it's because those guys are so motivated about getting traded from the Lakers.
A lot of texts here, Don, that ask what type of beer you're drinking. A lot of people asking if it's the champagne of beers, Miller High Life.
You know, the answer to that, again, is supposed to be yes, but it's not. I am actually enjoying the, what am I drinking? Oh, the Firestone IPA.
Oh, there you go. It's a good one.
What's it called, Matt?
Is it the 805? Firestone. Is it the Firestone 805?
No, that's amber.
That's not a, yeah, that's not an,
well, that's the amber.
I forget what it is, but there's going to be more drink, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, there is.
I look at the label when I open my next one. I'm going to tell you guys that.
You know, Don, there's a lot of guests that have come and gone over the years, a lot of people that have come and gone throughout the show.
The Union Jack. Is it the Union Jack?
Union Jack, that's it.
There we go.
There you go.
Thank you, Google.
Like the Union Jack, there is one true symbol of the BFF of the Petros and Money Show. And great sports talk.
Great sports talk.
And that is the Baron of Box Canyon, Don McLean. He is our symbol over the years, like the Union Jack is for the Brits. We love you, Don. Have a wonderful night and Thanksgiving with your family. And we appreciate you and are thankful for you. Have a great, great weekend.
Well, I appreciate that. You guys have a great Thanksgiving as well. And I'll be thinking about you outside tonight.
Yeah.
Well, that's right.
Grilling those scrimps.
Grill it up.
We'll be
scallops,
back.
Scrimps.
More shrimp news later in the show.
Is that right?
Yeah. We are your Camarones show of record. And we'll be back with more PMS on AM 570 LA Sports. Still to come, Matt's turkey recipe at 5 o'clock. Straight up.
That hold over me. As long as I got your love, you know that I'll never leave. When I wanted you to share my life, I had no doubt.
Money on your smart speaker.
Mic check, mic check.
Just say, Alexa.
Yes?
Play AM 570 LA Sports on iHeartRadio.
We're going till 7 p.m. Bruin Insider after that. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving, and we got your triple header. Bears, Lions, Raiders, Cowboys, Bills, Saints. Friday, we got Clippers, Pistons. Saturday, back-to-back UCLA basketball versus UNLV. Then Cal, UCLA football at the Rose Bowl at 7:30. And then Sunday, we got Broncos, Chargers at the Broncos. 1 p.m. kick on Alt 98 points. I'm going to play all against AFC.
We are. We got a lot of games, and we got the big turkey brining recipe that you're all waiting for coming up. In the very next segment, Matt's turkey brining recipe that he does every year will be on there, and you can podcast it if you miss it on the iHeartRadio app for your smartphone. You can also podcast a great conversation we had with our BFF, Don McClain, who got into UCLA using the Gonzaga game as a touchstone and talked about how the Lakers could very well be in trouble, maybe not like felony trouble yet, but certainly looking at a misdemeanor right now kind of trouble. And Anthony Davis has a fever, and he is not playing tonight. Yeah. But like Matt said, we are running all the games on the station, the triple header of the NFL tomorrow, and we still have some NFL talk and a lot of great sports talk headed your way. The turkey recipe, Sweet James Bergener, a college football whip around with all seven Pac-12 contests coming up. So we'll be back with more great sports talk. We're sorry to snurdly the break, but we will be back with more. Don't forget, if you miss us, you can always get us on social media during the holiday. We'll be right back with the turkey recipe. Stay tuned on your home of salt and butter,